Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You know, this morning I've got one of my major heroes in my life that's here this morning, Vander Holyfield. Vander, would you come up and greet the people this morning? Give us a good word this morning. Come on, let's give the former heavyweight champion of the world. He's the Lord.
First of all, I'm honored to be here. You know, I give God the praise and I give him the glory. You know, I guess one of the most important things in my life is, you know, my mom. And you know, my mom always wanted me to be better than she was. And so, you know, that same effect that she wanted me to be better. She didn't want me to be like her. She said, you know, I made a lot of mistakes. You don't have to make those. And so she always wanted me to be better. And so, you know, that's the same thing right today that, you know, for my kids, I want them to be better. I said, I made mistakes, but you don't have to make those like that. And so I'm honored to be here today to hear the pastor preach. And thankful for my wife I just married, got me to come. And so, thank you very much.
Come on, let's give them a big hand clap. They're family. Amen. Praise God. We always used to say years ago, you know, that Evander, he was going to a great church in Atlanta, Creflo Dollar. You ever heard of him? And then Creflo used to come here years ago, and they would call me the white Creflo Dollar. So we claim Evander, his family, as part of our family. Amen? All right, got your Bible? Hold it up. Let's say it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Let's thank God for the Word. Come on, let's thank Him for the Word. Amen. Well, open your Bible, and I hope you brought your Bible with you, right? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. You'll need your Bible. Follow along. Don't just look at the screen. You know, that's kind of lazy Christianity, right? You know, we do that for the sake of people who maybe don't have a Bible, and actually for visitors so they can follow along with us. But all you homies, open your Bible, okay? Amen. Let's get in the Word. Mark it. Amen. Praise God. We're talking about the armor of God. We're all in a battle. We're all in spiritual warfare, and it's getting stronger. We need to know how to respond to it. So we're talking about, for several weeks, the armor of God, the armor of God. It's amazing to me, you know, how many people right now actually are teaching on the armor of God. They must be watching our services, right? But the armor of God. There are seven pieces, and you know, Pastor Kim was telling me she was in here the other day when nobody was here, and she was praying, and she said, all of a sudden, I looked up, Dave, and I saw somebody was over in the corner. I didn't know who it was. I got scared all of a sudden. I was going to call for security. It was this dude right here, over here in the corner. So, anyway, seven pieces of the armor of God. The Apostle Paul's in prison. He's writing this book. He's chained to a Roman soldier. He sees this armor. It's metaphors, okay? The armor of God, these seven pieces, are metaphors of the Word of God, of revelation on each one of those topics. Seven in the Bible is the number for perfection, okay? For perfection, there are seven pieces. And so let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, that's a command, isn't it? Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And that's a word for all of us right now. We've got to be strong like never before. How do you get strong? Where does my strength come from? The Lord, right? Be strong in the Lord. So I need to work on my relationship with God like never before. I need to go back to the basics. I need to go back to the fundamentals. The basics and the fundamentals get you through the tough times of life. I hope you just heard what I said. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our might is not enough. Our might is not enough. We need His might. We need His strength. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. So the armor of God brings us His strength. The armor of God, he said, be strong in the Lord. And then He tells us how to do it. Is that cool? Scripture interprets Scripture. Get strong in the Lord. Pastor Blunt, how do I do it? By putting on the armor of God. When you put on the armor of God, you get into His strength and you have His strength for the storm you're in. So put on the whole armor of God. How many pieces are there? Seven. So we don't go halfway. We go whole hog. We're all in. All seven pieces, right? Put on the whole armor of God. And notice we have to do it. We have to put it on. We can't expect God to do it for us or other believers to do it for us or our family, our friends, or our parents, or our mate to do it for us. It's our own responsibility. Be strong in the Lord. How do I get strong? Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God, and you will be able to stand. We spent one whole weekend on what does it mean to stand. It means to resist. It means to resist. So it means to withstand and resist. You know, we have to know the Word, the Bible. We need to go to a church that teaches the Word so we know what to receive and we know what to resist, right? So you will be able to resist against the methods of the devil. Our enemy is the devil. Verse 12. So he said, so far, get strong. Then he tells us how to do it. Put on the armor of God. And then he says that armor will give you the power to withstand, resist, and endure anything that comes your way. And then he tells us who we're fighting, the devil. And now he breaks down his kingdom into four levels. Don't you love the Word? Breaks it down to four levels. And then verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That's where we get our strength. That's where we get our strength. Take the whole armor of God. You will be able to stand, withstand, resist, even on the worst week of your life. Even on the worst, maybe this has been the worst week of your life. Well, even on the worst day, even in the worst season, if we put on the armor of God, we've got God's strength. And we sang about it, God's bigger, God's better, God's stronger than anything you're facing today. You will be able to resist in the evil day. Having done all you know to do, stand, resist. Remember I gave you the formula of faith, the release of faith, number one. Number two, the fight of faith. And number three, the answer to faith. During the fight of faith, you have to know how to stand and resist. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. He's about to list the seven pieces, and these pieces are metaphors of spiritual truth. Metaphors of spiritual truth. He's about to list the seven, the law of first mention. I'm not going too fast, am I?
No.
The law of first mention. Here is he mentions the belt of truth. And we found out what that means. The belt is in the center of our body, so the Bible should be the center of your life, your marriage, your parenting, your business. So he lists these seven pieces. And then he says the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We talked about that last weekend, verse 16. Above all, take the shield of faith. That's what we're going to land today, the shield of faith. But look at this, above all, above all, above all. take the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, the shield of faith was made out of wood, iron, and six layers of leather. And it was the Roman soldier's duty every day to rub oil into that leather so it wouldn't get brittle. So the Roman soldier, and we're soldiers of the Lord, right? We're in the army of the Lord. And so there's a type here, there's a metaphor here, there's revelation here that the soldier, the Roman soldier, it was his job every day to maintain the shield. Six layers of leather, iron, and wood, and he was to rub oil. What's oil a type of in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. And then what they would do when they went into battle, when they would go into battle, they dunked the shield in water. They dunked the shield in water. What is water a type of in the Bible? The Word of God. So you have oil and water applied to the shield. You and I are to apply oil and water every day in our life as Christians. The Holy Spirit, be filled daily. The Word of God says to be filled daily. You still with me, everybody? See the type and the shadow above all. And this shield was actually like a door. There were two kinds of shields for the Roman soldier. One was small and round. The other was rectangular. It was the shape of a door. It covered their whole body. It covered their whole body. So our greatest defense in battle is our faith. Amen. This is the shield of faith. It covered all their body. Above all, make sure you have on the shield of faith. Or can I say it this way? Make building your faith daily priority. Make building your faith daily priority. Because your faith is your defense to this culture. Your faith is your defense to this culture. Your faith is your defense to this culture. We overcome what? Through our faith. Even our faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We receive by faith. And we overcome by faith. Am I right? So above all, priority, above all, make sure you don't leave home without feeding your faith daily. They put oil and water on the shield. They had to maintain it every day. You and I must be filled with the Spirit, and filled with the Word every day of our life as we go into battle. Right? And your greatest defense is not your personality, it's not your background, it's not your heritage, it's not your net worth or your network. It's your faith. Your greatest defense is your faith. Your faith is likened to gold, more precious than gold, your faith. Your faith. So you and I want to feed our faith and guard our faith and nurture our faith. I hope I'm communicating. Because the devil, before you get out of here, he wants to steal the word I'm teaching because the word produces faith. He wants to get you so burdened down with the cares of life and the pressures of life so he can steal the word from you. Because faith comes by not praying, not singing, but faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith is your greatest defense. You know, your most important thing every day before you leave the house is your shield of faith. The shield was like a door above all. It covered everything. So faith is your greatest defense for parenting, for your business, for your schooling, for your decisions, for your relationships. Faith is your greatest defense. Now, what would happen here, it says take the shield of faith. And the word for faith here is faith that is in action. Faith that is in action. So in other words, you and I have got to have a faith that works. We've got to have a faith that acts. We've got to have a faith that reacts or responds. We can't just say, well, I know that. Well, I've heard that. Well, I have notes on that. That's not what's going to get you through. It's, are you acting on what you know? Acting on what you've taken notes with? Acting on what you've heard? I'm not blessed in hearing the word. I'm blessed in doing the word. The shield of faith is someone who acts out their faith. I'll say it this way. Your shield of faith is how you respond. Your shield of faith is how you respond to negativity. You and I are to respond not in fear to our culture, not in fear to uncertainty, not in fear over our future. You and I are to respond in faith over tomorrow, in faith over next week, in faith with that court case, in faith with that doctor's appointment, in faith in that counseling. That's the shield of faith. The shield of faith is your response and your reaction to discouragement, to tests and trials and detours and disappointments. Am I with you today? Okay, so above all, and notice that the shield was out in front. The shield was in front. Your faith needs to be in front. Your faith needs to be in front. As you journey in life, you need to see everything through the eyes of faith. Your faith needs to be in front. You need to see your children, grandchildren, health, finances, job, career, education, decisions, future through the eyes of faith, not through the eyes of CNN or Fox News. Above all, it's priority. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Taking the shield of faith. And this faith is a faith that acts, that responds correctly to negativity, to mountains, to challenges, to problems, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So what did they put every day? They rubbed oil into their shield. But then when they went out to battle, they dunked it in water. Why? Because when the enemy would shoot arrows that they dipped in tar and lit on fire, when those fiery darts came, the shield quenched the fire. The shield quenched the fire. In one of my commentaries, it actually gave the name of a Roman soldier that said in one battle, he had 220 arrows in his shield. 220 arrows in his shield. But what is so awesome is that when you and I are filled with the word every day, the water, and filled with the Holy Spirit every day, the oil, that when the devil shoots those fiery darts at you and I, that it quenches them. In other words, they don't spread. They don't spread. There's no big bad side effects. You know, there's no lateral damage. That your shield quenches it. It doesn't spread. I like that. So above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Next verse, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. This is the next piece. The helmet of salvation. What does the helmet cover? Your head. And what's that the type of? Your mind. And where is your battle? In the mind. And where is your battle? Your thought life. Golden nugget. Your thought life determines the quality of your life. Your thought life determines the quality of your life. As a man thinketh, so is he. Your thought life determines the quality of your life. Your mind is a part of your soul, right? Which is a part of your emotions. We're spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Redemption is three parts. It's past, present, and future. When a person gets born again today in our services and comes to Christ or online, immediately they get a new spirit, right? Immediately they get a new spirit. That's past tense. But then they got to work on what we call consecration or daily renewing their mind or their soul. That's present tense, getting saved. And then in the future, in the resurrection, we get a new body. We get a new resurrected body. So spirit, soul, body. Past tense, present tense, future tense. Past tense, spirit got saved when I asked Jesus into my life. Present tense, I'm beginning to think correctly. My mind is getting saved. That's how why we can be a Christian and think dumb thoughts. Think bad thoughts. Think sinful thoughts. But the more we renew our mind, the less we think carnal thoughts. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the helmet, and take the helmet of salvation. I love that word salvation there, because I looked it up, and it actually means a full salvation. I don't get that, Pastor. Full salvation. I don't get that, Pastor. It means it includes everything now and everything in the future. Everything now that God has for you and everything God has for you in the future. I looked up one commentary, and it said there for salvation, it means the givenness of God. The givenness of God. Well, you should shout on that. The givenness of God. What's that? The grace of God. What's that? Everything he wants to give to you is included in his salvation. Sozo, it includes everything. I love that word salvation means full, complete. Now, God knows what you need today, what you're feeling, what you need, and he's provided it already. And what you're going to have throughout eternity, it includes that too. So you don't got to wait to get to heaven to have heaven. You don't got to wait to heaven to get happy, get delivered. Come on, somebody. It means full salvation. We have to renew our mind to think differently. Don't think religious. Don't think churchy. Think Bible. What does the Word say? So we're doing our one-year Bible, right? So salvation there, I like it. The givenness, our God is a giver. That's why no one should ever have to try to convince me to be a tither and a giver. Because our Heavenly Father is a giver. It's his nature. And if I take on the nature of my Father, I'll be a giver. And no one has to make me tithe. No one has to make me be a kingdom builder. I take on the nature of God. He's a giver, for God so loved he gave. I'm just naturally going to want to give. But I have to learn that, because we're born selfish. Selah. So take the helmet of salvation. This is the other piece we're looking at today. And the helmet goes over the head, and that's a metaphor of our mind. And our mind is getting saved. It's not saved. It's getting saved. And we want to think less negative and more positive, less fear and more faith. How does that happen? Through the process of every day, your one-year Bible. Your one-year Bible. So take the helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always, that's the spear, with all kinds of prayer. The armor, all these seven pieces are metaphors, but the armor of God is basically Bible knowledge properly applied to your situation. That's why Christians who aren't in the Word are weak. Christians who aren't in the Word are moody. Christians who aren't in the Word are up and down, roller coaster Christianity. Because they have no armor on to stand, withstand, and resist the fiery darts, which are lies, which are thoughts and schemes and methods of the devil. Christians who aren't in the Word are weak. One week without the Word makes one weak. One week without the Word makes one weak. Christians who are not in the Word are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it's not enough to know it. You have to apply it. You have to apply it. The armor is Bible knowledge properly applied. Everybody still with me? We looked at the shield of faith. Priority to build my faith daily. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The shield of faith is the ability to respond to attacks like a victor and not a victim. The ability to respond to attacks like a victor and not a victim. The helmet of salvation is a revelation of your salvation. It's a revelation of your salvation. It's what, you know, some people get saved and set and soak and sour and just barely survive. That's not salvation. Salvation is the abundant life. Abundant life. Everyone say abundant life. We live so far below our rights and privileges as believers. It's a revelation of what your salvation really is, the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Here's a prayer that I pray over you every day. Please pray it over me and my family. This is a prayer for a revelation of your salvation. So you ask God to give you revelation. Remember, the shield of faith is out in front, right? So you should look at everything today, not through your feelings. Well, I just don't feel like it's going to work out. Then it won't. I just don't feel like things are going to get better. Then they're not. I just don't feel like it's going to work. Then it won't. We can't walk by our feelings and have God's best. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith at Church on the Rock and your love for one another, I pray this for you every day. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here's this prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding would be opened. That you would know the hope of the calling and the riches of his glory and the inheritance, all that belongs to you. So you pray for a revelation of what salvation really means to you and me. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's your mind. That's the helmet of salvation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Notice he's talking to himself, right? He's talking to himself. He's directing his feelings. Your soul is your feelings and your emotions. He's directing them, not letting them direct him. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? In our salvation, there's an inheritance and there's benefits. The helmet of salvation is getting a revelation, not of religion or churchianity, but of what Jesus has done for us. This is my Bible, and I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do, and I can have what it says I can have. That's salvation. That's a revelation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget the benefits of being a Christian, of being a believer, of being an overcomer. Well, what are those benefits? Verse 3, who forgives all of my iniquities. All means all. Last time I looked at it. And heals all of my diseases. So notice salvation has all these benefits of being redeemed from my past, present, and future mistakes and sins, but also healing for all diseases that may attack your body or my body. And then he redeemed us from poverty and lack. And then he gave us a peace and certainty of the future. Oh, just think about a revelation of your salvation as our team comes out. Who redeems my life from destruction, and he crowns me with loving kindness. He satisfies my mouth with good things. Oh, I like it. Don't you like it? 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your what? Mind. Pastor, what in the world is loins? It's your emotions. The helmet of salvation, you put it on. It protects your thought life. It protects your thought life. You're guarding your mind. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. We are to get our emotions in control. How do we do that? By putting on the helmet of salvation. What is that? Renewing our mind. Our thought life determines the quality of our life. If I think I'm handicapped, that I'm held hostage, that I'm held captive, that I'm always going to be down, then that's what I'm going to have. My thought life determines the quality of my life. You and I are to control our emotions. How do we do that? By renewing our mind. How do we do that? 1-year Bible. Wherefore, gird up the emotions of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. Hold on to your hope. Hope to the end. For the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the helmet of salvation. It's the renewing of our mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God didn't give you a spirit of fear. CNN did and Fox did, but God didn't. Social media did, but God didn't. For God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love. And what kind of a mind? Sound. Not crazy, not delusional, not confused, not tormented, not worried, not fretful, not divided, not doubtful, not uncertain, not weary, not burnt out. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I got to think differently. Put on the helmet of salvation is to think differently. It have that shield of faith. It's making faith priority. Did I help anybody today? Okay, so let's look at this. We're going to look at some takeaways. James 1:21, wherefore lay aside all filthiness and naughtiness and receive with meekness, which is a teachable spirit, the engrafted or planted word, which is able to save or change your emotions, your way of thinking, your mind, your soul. Remember, your soul is your mind, your will, your feelings, and your emotions. And notice when we receive the word of God, engrafted. One translation says, the Phillips translation said, that means when it gets planted. I didn't help you if you just heard what I said today. But if you received it and let it get planted in your spirit, then I changed you today. How do you know if what I teach on Sunday is helping you? If you're changing. If you're not changing, our services aren't helping you. How do you know if worship is good when it changes us? How do you know that what I'm hearing is making a difference when it changes me? If I just know it, then it didn't help me. And it can't help me until it's engrafted, until it's planted in my spirit. But notice something, naughtiness, filthiness, pornography, cheating, stealing, all the above sin hinders me from receiving the word while sitting in church. It hinders it. Well, that's why I've always said down through the years, don't walk up to me and say, please, well, I didn't get anything out of your sermon today. I'm going to say, sinner, 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 sinner. Because sin steals revelation from me from receiving the implanted word of God, which can change my life. When I change my thinking, I change my life. Y'all with me? Got quiet in this church on the rock here for a few minutes, right? Y'all coming back, right? Seriously, y'all see that? Sin keeps me from receiving in a service. Sin keeps me from receiving the word and understanding it. That's why he said, get rid of an unteachable spirit, get rid of pride, get rid of sin, so you can receive the word, it can be planted, and then change the way you think, then it will change your life. How do you know that I'm helping you when I teach you, when you leave here and it changed you? If it didn't change you, then it's not working in your life. That's how you know. All right, so takeaways we have, our thought life determines that. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, what's the helmet called? Look at the scripture, everybody. What's the helmet called? You're missing it. What's it called? There you go. Hope. It's a helmet of hope. It's the hope of salvation. It's a helmet of hope. So if I'm not putting on that helmet every day, then guess what? I'm living in the world hopeless, with a hopeless culture right now. The helmet is called the helmet of the hope of salvation. Hope. Holding on to positive expectation. Hope, an acrostic. Holding on positive expectation. H-O-P-E, acrostic. Holding on. Don't let the world take it away from you. Your dreams, your God-given goals, God's destiny. Hope is holding on to positive expectation. And the helmet of salvation will give you hope, because it's salvation today, tomorrow, and all through your future. It's what you need now and what God has waiting for you in the future. It's God's givenness. He wants to give into your life. Amen? I'm going a little bit longer, but you can dig it. Amen. All right? So hope in a hopeless world. Takeaways, here we go. Number one, tell me what it says. Feed my faith daily. What gets us through tough times is the basics. Feed your faith daily. Number two, pray for a fresh revelation of your salvation. Pray every day. I prayed over you. Please pray it over me and my family. Ephesians chapter 1. God, give me a fresh revelation of all the benefits, the blessing, the strength, of all the grace, the mercy, all that you have in store for me through salvation. Number three, develop a teachable spirit. Develop a teachable spirit. It's when we receive with meekness the word of God, it changes our life, the way we think. Number four, develop and hold on to your mental attitude of hope. Did you know reading the scriptures will give you hope? It will. Romans chapter 15, it says the scriptures bring us hope. Bring us hope. That's Romans 15 verse 4, gives us hope. Your one-year Bible will give you hope. In Jesus' name. Well, if I helped you, give God a big praise. I'm done. Would you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, close your Bibles, notepad, and Christians praying under their breath? I've spoken for 31 minutes. That's all I spoke today. It's right back there. 31 minutes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one moving. Everybody online, those of you online, you see, Pastor Blunt, I need God today. Pastor, I tried everything. It didn't work. I need God today. I heard what you said today. God is bigger, stronger, and better. And God is for me. I'm ready. Pray for me, Pastor. Punch the button on your smartphone, your computer. Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I need to reset. I need to recommit my life to God today. God's speaking to me, Pastor. God's talking to me. I'm ready. Pray for me. In the room here, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's going to bother you, but faith is an act. You got to do something. And you say, Pastor, God's dealing with me today. I've been looking, I've been searching. I need God. I realize He's my creator. He created me. He knows me better than anybody else. He loves me. He has a plan for my life. Pastor, I want God. I'm ready. I'm ready for a relationship. Or Pastor, I'm a believer. I love the Lord. God's dealing with me to reset my life today, to live to a higher standard, higher level, press into His presence. Pastor, pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians are praying. If that's you, make that decision today. Lift your hand up high, just wave it at me unashamedly in every section, and then you can put your hands down, put it up high, wave it at me. Pastor, I need to get right with God. Pastor, I want a relationship with God. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Let's all pray this prayer, church. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for me, and that He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I receive You now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can look up. Let's celebrate as our host comes. God bless you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.